Our fifth speaker is Pat McClear. Pat McClear is a Mudrooms veteran. This is her fifth time at the microphone. Ooh, yeah. All right. She is most appreciative of the folks who tape and archive the stories. She plans to have the stories available to the folks who will someday plan her memorial service. Why have others talk at the service when she can tell the stories herself? Please welcome Pat.
I once was lost, but now I'm found. Sister Mary Annine was my first grade teacher. I loved her. That Christmas, I received my first nun doll. Guess what her name was? My family lived just shy of 2 miles from St. John the Evangelist Elementary School, and I would walk home by myself, singing, telling myself stories, playing what if in my head. But during Lent, I would work the rosary beads in my pocket. I would pray. A silent meditation known only to me, a young girl scuffing her feet on her way home from school. The summer before my sixth grade year, my sister Mary, 7.5 years my senior, was preparing to enter the convent. I was so excited. Instead of a cedar hope chest like our two older sisters, Mary had a large black trunk, and it was filled with all the items checked off her packing list and labeled with Sister Mary McClear. I was so thrilled that Mary was living my dream and I was living vicariously through her. The mother house, her new home, was just over the state line in Rhode Island. It was a beautiful New England fall day when we delivered Mary to Mount St. Mary's. We were all in our Sunday's best to get her there, and I was so very proud when she walked down the aisle of the chapel, dressed in her novice habit. It was as though I were walking right beside her. My sister Mary never spoke her final vows. The Sisters of Mercy are a teaching order, and Mary was not an academic. The evening that she called and asked to come home, our parents left immediately to escort her. I was devastated. My sister Mary had punctured my dream. It took me a long time to forgive her. It took me a long time to talk to her again, but eventually I came around. In our hometown, the Knights of Columbus would sponsor an essay contest annually. And when I was in the eighth grade, the title was My Vocation. I wrote, I rewrote, I read it aloud to my sister Mary, I edited, I won first prize for my essay on why I was going to be a nun. At the award ceremony, my teacher, Sister Mary Everett, came up to congratulate me. And that's when my mother looked her straight in the eye and said, "Damn you, you won't get another one." I was mortified. I wanted the floor to open so I could drop through. My mother never told me she didn't want me to be a nun. My mother never told me what she wanted for me. But the nuns did. At Bishopian High School, I was taught by highly educated women of faith. It was post-Vatican II. The women's movement had new life. And many in the Catholic Church were involved with liberation theology, social justice movement. These women were exemplary role models, and I continued to contemplate following their lead, despite my mother's disdain for religious life, but I was uncertain. College turned the page for me. The more aware I became of feminism, the women's movement, the more awake I was to my own sexuality, the less a patriarchal theology was meeting my spiritual needs. I was lost. I never felt comfortable going anymore, and I tried different faiths, but nothing resonated. I think Emily Dickinson may have known the feeling when she wrote, "I'm seated. I've stopped being theirs." I was spiritually adrift, no anchor, no compass, and there was a void, and that void ached. Years later, I'm driving in my car, I'm listening to the radio, and I have a NPR driveway moment. You know of what I speak. You're driving in the car, they're talking about some story, you pull into the driveway, can't get out, gotta wait till the end of the story here, right? So the reporter was talking about Unitarian Universalism, and I was like, what? I'd never heard of it before. Unitarian Universalism and what it meant to be a welcoming congregation. And there was none of this hate the sin, love the sinner. It was, and I quote, "Homosexuality is not a sin. Homophobia is," unquote. Whoa. Where can I find one of these churches? To the Yellow Pages. The next Sunday, I was in the back row, eyes, ears, heart, wide open. I was surrounded by people who looked genuinely happy to be in church. There were families, children, elders, youth, a conservative dress sitting next to folks who were pierced and tattooed. The speaker that day was a rabbi, and during announcements, a meeting for queers was declared. Okay, really? They said queers in church? Nobody flinched. I was like, okay, I'm in the right space. I had found my spiritual home. That void had been filled with a free and responsible search for truth and meaning. That patriarchal dogma was replaced with a covenant to affirm and promote the inherent worth and dignity of all people. You use truth in advertising. They are indeed welcoming. Kim and I were married at the Unitarian Universalist Church in Burlington, Vermont. Thank you. The officiating minister, an ex-Catholic nun. I now have a small collection of nun dolls. And there's a statue of Mary and one of Kuan Yin in our yard, both of which are surrounded by threadbare prayer flags, releasing their intentions to the universe. My sister Mary is still a congregant at St. John the Evangelist Church, where she is a tireless volunteer for social justice. And on any given Sunday, when I am serving as a lay leader at the Juno Unitarian Universalist Fellowship, and I'm up at the altar, and I think of my mother and all those nuns who touched my life, and I think, they could see me now.